What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoons with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart in our death march of a show, the two of us, as we get to the end of the week here. We have a lot to get to today.
Are we like Thelma and Louise? You want to just drive off a cliff?
Right off the cliff.
Up there, actually. This building is kind of weird. We can go to the upper parking lot.
There is a cliff that we could drive off. That we could absolutely drive off of.
Now, we wouldn't die. We would just get hurt.
Well, probably. You never know.
I don't think we would die. That's only like a...
If I really gunned it, we could.
I think if you really gunned it, we might land it.
Maybe. That's true.
Dukes of Hazzard style.
Could be. Anyway, we have a lot to get through today.
You guys want to sit in the backseat?
We all want to go. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, We're a team.
We live as a show. We die as a show.
Right. Oh, see, I like that unity.
Ted Johnson shows up tomorrow. So, like, what are we doing for the show, guys? Like, oh, they all drove off a cliff and died.
They're dead.
It's just you and Fitzy, and we have to hire a bunch of new people. It's not how we planned for this to go. Anyways, we have a lot to get to today. As you heard in the crossover, we will talk to Adam Schefter at 3:45. We will also speak to Brian Scalabrine at 4:00. Kept his date today. How about that? That's not sad. Maybe because he knew it was the last one for me. So maybe that was it. But either way, that's very nice. We'll talk with him, get his take on the Celtics. We have some Red Sox stuff to get to as well. Jen McCaffrey over at The Athletic had an article with some interesting info in it about Alex Cora's reaction to everything that's going on right now, including the Jaren Duran arbitration saga, other things like that. What you just heard there was Drake May talking about frustrations and things that have frustrated him over the course of the year, how he deals with those frustrations. That was with you and Fitzy, I think. I don't think I was there for that answer. But I wanted to play that because we're going to talk a lot today about Mike Vrabel and Drake May, as they are the QB coach combination of the future, I would say. I don't think that Vrabel's going to be out of here next year, even if he doesn't have a great season. I think he's going to get a little bit more leash just so this thing doesn't turn into a total clown show. I think these guys are going to be intertwined, and this is going to be your combo going forward. So let's go ahead and start with some catch-all Vrabel news, first of all, which is the offensive coordinator search. And when I say news, it's the fact that there's no news. And I wonder if that no news is good news or bad news. Andy, what do you think?
I don't think it's any news, because my assumptions yesterday after the Vrabel comments about the search and McDaniels and all that was like they were going to get those out of the way, that they might be the most likely first AVP, for all I know. Josh McDaniels, sort of the in-town and the in-house candidate. We'll talk to him. We'll get those out of the way. And then some of the other more notable interviews might take place. I do think we've learned they're not going to do what they did with the head coach. I think some places do the social media thing with coordinators. Clearly, the Patriots are not going to do that because he told us they were doing interviews yesterday afternoon, and we've gotten virtually no information out of it. I also think it's a good sign for him early on in his tenure that apparently there weren't any leaks.
Right.
There were no reports coming out of Foxborough yesterday.
True.
So maybe he's keeping a pretty close circle and tight ship down there, at least early on, which I think is probably a good thing for him, at least until they get their feet kind of grounded. But I don't take it as a bad sign. It's also not flouting. Is that how you say it? Flouting of the Rooney Rule or anything like that.
Right.
They already got that out of the way with the head coach situation.
Sure. I mean, they could do it again, I suppose, but yeah.
They could,
but... With the same two guys, they could do it again.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't either.
Is it possible that they just say, can we count those?
Yeah, they just keep them on retainer.
No, but they're two offensive guys. Can we just say, we already interviewed those guys. Do
but
those
you have
count?
To do it for each job, don't you?
But what if they talked about both jobs in the process?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a head coaching job.
You want to just fly on the rule.
No, I know. Yeah. And I would stay out of it, because somebody actually kind of whispered to me that they thought the NFL is sniffing around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And probably nothing they can do, because I don't know that they specifically broke the rule.
Right.
They just didn't really play the game, make it look good.
Yeah,
the
they cut corners on the
rule.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What they did, which, again, is not against the rule, but it's not the spirit
the
of the rule.
Spirit
that's
of the
rule. Reason why they have it, yeah.
We're big on spirits around here.
We are.
But, no, the fact that we didn't get any info, it does. I think they're going to win. He said, I'm going to take Vrabel at his word, it's a long list. He's going to do something that his boss didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do a long search.
Right.
And we've done it. You know, Evan Lazar's candidates, Mike Reese's candidates, our candidates. You know, do you like Dave Ragone? Do you like Josh McCown? Do you like Josh McDade? Like, there's plenty of candidates out there. Although you did note, there aren't a lot of Rooney Rule candidates out there.
Offensive coordinators.
There's
zero in the league right now. Now, there's plenty of position coaches, I'm sure.
Right.
I didn't go through every
coach,
single one of these things,
receivers.
But I'd imagine that there are. So
yeah.
There's guys that you could maybe promote to offensive coordinator
like
if you wanted
time.
To. But
didn't
yeah.
they do, it wasn't Keenan McCardell and one of the others they interviewed?
I believe that's right, yeah.
And they were like a wide receivers coach mm-hmm. or something along the way. But no, I think this is really interesting, and I think it's really important. And like, I have full faith in Mike Vrabel. I don't right now have full faith in the offensive process because I don't know what the offensive process is going to be.
Right.
Wes Phillips, Josh McCown.
Alex Van Pelt.
And there's Alex Van Pelt.
Mm.
There's names that I'm intrigued by. Like, even those guys.
Right.
I don't have the faith in them. Even Josh McDaniels. I don't have the faith in him that I do in Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel is going to be a good, solid, steady head coach. Josh McDaniels has not worked with Drake May.
Right.
Right? Like, there's questions, and there's some questions in his career. He also really hasn't worked with, correct me if I'm like, a mobile quarterback like May. I know the Tim Tebow thing in Denver, but that's a whole different.
Yeah.
That's a beast.
Yeah.
He hasn't
He was
had,
a mobile quarterback, but I mean, you know.
But he couldn't throw the ball.
Opposite. Yeah, exactly. Bradford wasn't really. Cutler wasn't really.
I mean, Cutler ran a little bit, but at this, I guess
Garoppolo
my point would be.
And O'Connell weren't really, you know.
This
like,
would
yeah,
be the runningest quarterback that
he has
worked with. And I don't know if he wants that. We played that audio on this show about Josh wondering what May's going to be. Pocket mm-hmm. quarterback, running quarterback combo of the two. So I have a lot of questions about the candidates, the process, the results, and Drake May. One of my questions isn't where Drake May is vacationing, other than his decision-making. I thought Cancun in Mexico, you were supposed to, like, I thought it was dangerous down there.
In Cancun?
Yeah. I thought, like, that's where they cut your head off and leave it in a bag in the desert.
In Cancun, they do that?
Mexico is dangerous. Look it up.
Mexico is a big country.
Ball, look it up.
I have the answer for you without looking it up. As long as you stay on the resort, you're fine.
Well, what about those places where people were dying because they were using, like, rubbing alcohol?
He's a quarterback in the NFL, Andy. He's not going to go do that.
That was in the Dominican Republic, I thought, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
But either way.
I was there, too.
You were?
Yeah, right when that happened, like a week after. We got back.
Probably laid off that minibar, I would think.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had the... I get traveling diarrhea when I travel a lot.
That's really nice to know. I'm glad you told us that.
It's not fun.
I don't think that Drake May or anybody, but, you know, a lot of people vacation in Mexico all the time. I don't think this is as
Is this my wife just scaring me? We've been planning a vacation, and she's like, we can't go to Mexico. They say it's dangerous down
there. Yeah, you can't go to, like, Juarez. Cancun's okay.
Is it really? Because it's much cheap. It's the cheapest place to go to nice places, by far. Everywhere else is more expensive.
The cheapest place to go to nice places?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's like... There's a
is
lot
it
of
cheap
nice
or is
places.
It nice?
No, it's inexpensive. I guess you want me to say
Got
like
it.
That Riviera Maya there, like south of Cancun.
I've never. I don't know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I've been there.
Okay. Like 15
did you,
years.
Did anyone cut your head off?
No, I made it. But that was a different time. It was a safer time. The cartels
right.
weren't as strong
right.
and entrenched.
I'll tell you what the government said, okay?
Oh, yeah. Tell me. Can we go?
Cancun is generally safe for tourists, but you should exercise caution, especially after dark. The U.S. State Department recommends that travelers exercise increased caution in Mexico due to rising violent crime.
See, okay. So he shouldn't be there.
Keep your head on a swivel. You're
he
fine.
He can afford any place he wants. He's Drake frickin' May.
Including the safe places in Cancun, Mexico.
But you're still in Mexico. There's safe places that aren't in Mexico that are safer.
Well, I saw.
I'm sure he can go to St. Lucia, Barbados, Bill, or whatever. Like,
sure.
I saw the picture of him on the beach. Didn't seem like he was overly worried.
Yeah, you don't know what's lurking in the bushes or something.
Okay.
Never
lurking
know.
In the bushes.
I didn't know what was lurking in the bushes
the
when
cartel?
I walked in today. What's your point?
The cartel hangs out in the bushes.
Yeah, looking for NFL quarterbacks.
Jump a quarterback.
No more narcos. We're taking away your Netflix.
They can kidnap if they can rob various athletes around. The U.S. during games?
Well, then you should
one.
Worry about him going into his house when he's not there,
probably
not about
true.
Going to the beach in Cancun. I think he's probably fine. At any rate, people were upset about that. People were upset about
Why?
Him being on vacation. I have no idea. You know me. I love vacation. I don't have any problem with anyone taking vacation ever at any point. And it's not like he missed passing camp or OTAs or something like that. He missed the announcement and press conference, just like the rest of his team, by the way. David Andrews the only guy there, wasn't he?
No.
Oh, and
the long
Cardona,
snapper.
Yeah.
Joe
right.
Cardona,
and
David
nobody
Andrews.
Else.
The only people I saw.
And Andre Tippett, who doesn't play for the team anymore.
Well, he's, Troy Brown, some of those guys. Right. Legends.
Some past and present, but now, really the present was not well represented.
To be fair, quarterback is different, right? We're not gonna,
sure.
Later on, we're not going to rank coach and center combos. We're not going to rank coach and long snapper combos. We're going to rank coach and QB combos.
Oh, we can't do long snapper combo? I think that would be good radio.
Could you name three others?
I could not.
I couldn't.
I don't know if I can name one other.
Is Lonnie Paxton still in the league? Zach Diossi still in the league?
Diossi, I was going to say. I remember him. Yeah.
If they're not still in the league, I'm probably out of options. But no, like quarterback is different, and I've bitched about the fact that he hasn't spoken. I don't like the fact that he hasn't spoken. I heard Jones and Keefe sort of projecting and surmising, we're not going to hear from him till in the spring sometime, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's minicamp, OTAs, will he talk the first day? Somewhere in the spring, we'll hear from him, but they'll have gone through combine, free agency, coaches. I don't know. I think he could have avoided all this by showing up on Postmortem Bag Monday, talking for 10 minutes in front of his locker and moving on.
That is, I think, more, I don't want to say troubling, but definitely raises more smoke or red flags or whatever than not being there for the Vrabel thing. Like that, and I heard Wiggy talking about that this morning. I agree. Like, you're the quarterback of the team. You were the main QB1 for most of the season. And on the last day of the year, you know, after that last, I was about to say loss, but it was actually a win, you're
felt
nowhere
like
to be
loss.
Found. You're not speaking up. You're not looking to the future. You're not delivering a message to fans that, you know, this next year is going to be special and I'm going to be back and we're going to be whatever. I mean, it's whatever you wanted to say, but to not say anything, I agree. I didn't love that either.
And if you remember, I actually thought Mac Jones did a great job post-game Bills blowout wild card loss.
Yeah.
When he said something to effect like, now I'm not a rookie anymore. Now it's about, you know, being a leader and getting guys to follow me and moving forward. Like, I was kind of like, nice job, Mac. And it all hit the fan after that, but I liked that because Drake has told us a number of times how important being the starting franchise quarterback for the New England Patriots is.
Mm-hmm.
So he has said it. He's also bragged a little bit about how good he is with the media. I've been doing this since high school. You know, there was always media and interviews. And then he decides not to talk at a time when I feel like he needs to talk. And I'm sorry if he was uncomfortable. I'm sorry if he was uncomfortable because Mayo got canned, but that's, you know, being uncomfortable is part of being a franchise quarterback. You know, you're going to throw picks. You're going to lose games. Your coach is going to get fired, whatever. That's part of, hell, teammates are going to do weird things in criminal things, and you're going to have to answer for those.
Right.
That's part of the job.
Yeah, basically, you were drafted 3 overall. Good teams don't draft third to make the third pick. So there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some adversity. There's going to be some days maybe you don't want to talk to us or you don't want to talk to the media or whatever, but you got to do it.
Right.
It's, you know, it's the way it works.
And he has said so many times he knows it's part of the job. He knows that the responsibilities of being a franchise quarterback and the Patriots quarterback and all of that. And then he hasn't spoken. It's not the biggest deal in the world. I know the Twitch chat. I haven't been even looking, but they'll get mad that I'm criticizing Drake, which is weird because all I've done is promote him for the totality of his tenure here.
Mm-hmm.
I started promoting him last January.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a Patriot yet. And you say one thing you don't really like and people, hey, leave him alone, man. He's a diva.
You're not only the president of the Drake May fan club, you're also a client.
I am. That's
basically
true.
Been the story of you this entire time. Part of this, and I don't know exactly how bad it got in the locker room over the course of that season, but part of it may be the culture in the locker room, which, if you saw, Mike Vrabel did a stand-up interview with Tommy Curran for his podcast.
Yep.
And Curran talked about how the Patriots were sort of a culture of blame. And I thought Vrabel's answer to that was very interesting, Stiz, if you could.
It's been a culture of blame-laying, to be honest.
And you're going to have to blame me. Like, I'm ready to accept the blame, and I'm ready to give credit. Like, that's where I'm at in my career. I want to try to help young coaches. I want young players to win. I want young players to develop. Outside of winning, there's no greater feeling for a coach than to have a young player go from one level to another level. And you see, when you set the hook and the light goes off, they'll die for you. Like, you just want to teach them one thing that can help them do their job, and you can coach them as hard as you want.
When you set the hook and the light goes on, those are two different metaphors, I think, he mixing.
He sounded like
there.
Me.
Yeah.
Totally mixing metaphors.
Set like that hook and then the light goes on. What?
Food and automobiles.
There's
what the
light
hell
on the fish or what? What's going on here?
But why are you hooking your young players? Like,
doesn't matter.
Hurting them?
He's rolling. It doesn't matter.
But that was, even that, even it though it was weird.
It was a good answer, yeah.
Great answer.
Yeah.
Those are those answers where, I don't want to keep doing this. I don't know. You said you say Happy New Year forever. Also,
yeah, although admittedly I haven't been doing it.
That was mostly
just to yell about Larry David.
When is the expiration date on sort of comparing him to Mayo and saying, I can't remember one answer that was like that from Gerard Mayo? Like, do we move on? Can we stop with that? Is it unfair? Like,
no, it's going to be a while.
Okay.
It's going to be at least...
Because I do it in my head.
At least the rest of the offseason, probably like a couple games into the regular season once he's doing post-game stuff. It's probably going to be like around the trade deadline that stops.
At least when we get out on the field and see actions and different things. But I can't remember. And he had a number of those. He said a similar thing about... There's no greater compliment for a coach than another coach comes up and says, boy, did your team play hard. They played their asses off today. Yep. Now, my flip side of this is all of these goals that he's talking about seem very small. And I think that's intentional.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because they have to get up to that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, like, people like me who are saying, well, if they do this right, Vrabel should be competing for the wild card. He's like, no. I just want the players to play. I want them to play
hard.
Gear
down, big shifter.
I think he is intentionally setting lower expectations.
Yeah.
If we get better, if we play hard, if we can take advantage of opponents' mistakes, there's no guarantees for competing for playoff spots, the division, timelines. I think they should have aspirations of competing for a wild card spot this year.
Yeah.
And he probably does sort of internalized in terms of those goals. Mm-hmm. But I think he's being real smart, setting low, non-tangible expectations. You can't measure what he's talking about. Did they play hard? Did a young player get better? Did he give one young player one thing to improve his game? I mean, Jalen Polk would be a perfect example.
Oh, boy.
If he starts catching passes.
Anything for him, yeah.
And I also just love the fact that you say, I'm ready to accept the blame and pass out the praise kind of stuff.
Yeah,
although I like that.
The last time I remember a coach saying that, it was Belichick saying, well, if this whole thing with Patricia doesn't work out, you can blame me. And it's like,
he never took the blame really either.
No, he
did
not.
That's the other thing.
Back to the offensive coordinator question real quick before we go to break here. Who do you think that Vrabel wants for offensive coordinator?
I think he wants a young guy.
I think so, too, because his past picks were both young guys.
Yeah.
LaFleur was a hot young position coach who he poached away, and Smith was the tight ends coach. He was in-house. They were both in their 30s, and those were the two guys that he had the most success with in Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't know the name, but I think the Nick Cayley, Wes Phillips, like a young up-and-coming. I don't know if he's actually beholden. A lot of us are beholden to McVay or Shanahan or follow the tree and all those roots. I think he wants a good young coach. And he just said it right there. He talked about young coaches, like teaching them, promoting them, getting them going. And again, I don't think he has the fear that we have of changing coordinators. He did it in Tennessee, and he's watched McVay do it. Now, I know it's different because McVay is the system, so there's a little difference there. But I don't think he wants the best coach, and I think he wants the best young coach. I'm not sure he's starting with Josh McDaniels. I think the Crafts have Josh McDaniels on top of their list. I think they would prefer Vrabel and McDaniels. I think he's looking younger and more developmental.
Okay. We have some controversy here on social media.
Uh-oh.
As a Twitter user says that I'm tired of this false reporting of Drake May and the Grand Caymans. Drake May being in Mexico, he's actually in the Grand Caymans per his girlfriend's TikTok. All I'm hearing all day is Mexico this and Mexico that.
Well, then he's much smarter than I gave him credit for. Good call. Grand Caymans sounds ritzy and not cartel.
I don't know what the Grand...
I'm going to judge from afar.
So very good.
We did get a bunch of texts on this in various degrees. Most of them said there's no safe places in Mexico. Another said they were on a Jeep tour and they turned a corner and there was a truck filled with army men and like Uzis and they just waved and kept going. Like, Mexico's a little different.
That sounds like the military. It doesn't sound like a bad thing.
Yeah, why is the military there?
Probably to fight the cartel. If I had to guess.
Exactly.
They're keeping you safe, Andy.
Exactly.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. When we return, Mike Vrabel has plans for Drake May. He talked about that as well with Tommy Curran. We'll get to that with your phone calls right after Dan Ball gets you caught up on what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Bruins were back in the win column last night as they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning at TD Garden 6-2.
And now it's hacked over the line. Marchand with a step. Shoots. He scores! Brad Marchand with a snapper. 3-0 Bruins.
That goal from Marchand proved to be the game winner. Marchand finished the game with 2 points, while David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha each had 3. Jeremy Swayman made a season-high 43 saves in the win. The Celtics hit the road tonight to play the Toronto Raptors. Tip-off is at 7:30. Boston is 28-11 on the season, while Toronto is 9-31. In national NBA news, the 3 NBA games postponed last week, 2 by the wildfires in Los Angeles and 1 by a winter storm in Atlanta, have caused a ripple effect in the league's schedule, with 9 games involving 9 teams being rescheduled to make up for those dates. In NFL news, the Colts have been designated as the home team next season for the NFL's first regular season game in Berlin. It will be the 5th regular season game played in Germany overall, which has hosted NFL games in Munich and Frankfurt since the 2022 season. Also, Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers is declaring for the NFL draft. Ewers went 21-5 as a starter the past 2 years and went to 2 CFP semifinal appearances. And the Houston Texans on Tuesday waived wide receiver Diontae Johnson as they prepare for their divisional round playoff game on Saturday against the Kansas City Chiefs. The playoffs continue next weekend, and WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons with Arcane and Hart coming up right after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
More of Mike Vrabel talking with Tom E. Kern. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm curious in what Mike Vrabel's plan for Drake May is. I don't know that Gerard Mayo had one. I don't know that there was really a whole lot of hands-on.
You sure? Didn't he tell us they had a big plan for him.
I know. Did you see one in action that Gerard Mayo seemed to be executing?
Don't play, and then it was play. It was right. Don't run, and then it was run. Somehow.
Well, you could say that Mayo's plan was to start him week one, and that they didn't do that, and whatever. He got overruled somehow, which I think is another part of this. You know, Mike Vrabel's the coach last year, and he wants Drake May to start week one. Then Drake May is going to start week one. And I think that there's sort of, in that interview with Kern, he talked a little bit more about breaking down the silos and all of that. And Vrabel was very diplomatic in saying that, well, you know, yeah, we still want to do that, and we want to be able to communicate. I want the communication to be open. But he didn't say, I want to collaborate. You know, no. He said, I'll communicate with you, but that doesn't mean that you're going to influence my decision-making all that much or at all or whatever. And
I think
we'll
he wants good people around him to provide him information with which he will make the decision.
Right. And
in all areas, coaching, personnel, everything.
Adam Schefter at ESPN, who we're going to talk to here in about an hour, a little more, said that Vrabel's the man. Like, Vrabel's the guy. It's all going to flow through him. He's going to be the chief decision maker, and that includes on GM front office related stuff, not just football on the field.
Technically, he said Vrabes is the guy.
Vrabes, right. So maybe it's somebody else, but I think it's Mike Vrabel he's talking about.
Does it, and this is a weird, cynical Andy question.
Uh-huh.
Does it worry you that Mike Vrabel might be too close to everyone?
Too close to everyone who's there?
I don't know. No, everywhere. Seems like everybody loves him. Everybody, he's in their pocket or they're in his pocket or, like, have you heard a counter word, really?
Yeah, from me. Basically,
other than you.
Other than me, no. Not really.
And it cost you your job.
Well, sure. Middays, I know Jones and Keefe both were pro Johnson.
Excuse me?
So I clipped that.
Pause.
I know they were pro Ben Johnson and had a preference for him over Vrabel, but I don't know how the hardcore they went after that. I remember them saying that.
I just think Crafts love him and Josh loves him and all the coaches love him and the players love him and the media loves him and everybody loves him.
I'll tell
him
you who doesn't love him is the Strunk family.
That is true.
Yeah, so, you know.
But I mean sort of in the greater New England area and even the media, national media. I don't know. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Bill loves him. Yeah.
Like, there was, and I don't know. I don't even know why it intrigues me, but he feels like he's going to be treated with kid gloves. He feels like he's going to get the benefit of the doubt, probably the benefit of the doubt much more than Mayo did, even though Mayo was supposed to be the nice guy, the perfect leader, the relationship builder. Mm-hmm. And
well, Vrabel's following Mayo. He's not following Bill. So,
true, you know. But Vrabel's supposed to be a hardo, kind of an a-hole, kind of a ball buster, mm-hmm.
but everybody loves him.
And that's good if he can pull that off. If that's sort of the magic of his personality and
his
motivations.
Well, again, everyone likes him here. In Tennessee, that wore thin once they stopped winning games.
Does everybody just like him here because, A, he's replacing Mayo, and, B, he won Super Bowls?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fair. If you want my honest answer, I think the answer to that is yes. I think it is superficial.
And short-lived.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about this all week, haven't we? If he wasn't a Patriot, would we all be this excited about it? Probably not.
No, but he'd still be a good candidate.
He could be a good candidate, sure, but he wouldn't be the shoo-in everybody made
him
this time.
Because the Jets wanted him. The Raiders is kind of because he's a Patriot. Brady wanted him, his buddy.
Exactly. And I think other teams wanted him anyway, but that's not the point. I don't think he would have been the shoo-in candidate that he was here if he hadn't won Super Bowls here and sort of introduced himself there. People loved him here. I remember he used to do commercials here. There was a commercial. You remember it was him and some guy, and they were neighbors, and he's trying to, like, run around the grill, and Vrabel keeps throwing him down on the lawn. Do you remember that?
Nope.
And the wives are talking. It was a funny commercial. I forget what it was for. But yeah, Dan, if you could hunt that one down. It was a funny ad when he played here, so it may predate YouTube. But either way, he was a personality. People liked
absolutely.
Him. You know, people liked hearing from him. When he became a head coach, people sort of rooted for him from afar.
I think he did weekly interviews either with Curran, like early quick slants, mm-hmm. or just NBC Friendly's Inside Scoop rings a bell. And I think Mike Vrabel did it like weekly from the locker room or something. So he was out there. He was in the media. He was in the public eye. And he was
a great player.
Oh, yeah.
A great player.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was one of the, like, mainstays and building blocks of that early dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he arrived. You go back to that Super Bowl, the pass rush that turned into the pick, right? He's the one going after Kurt Warner that forces the bad throw to Ty Law for a pick.
Right.
But then we're dancing in the end zone.
It's right. And that was one of the plays, greatest plays in the history of the world, as far as I'm concerned.
He was also beating the snot with Willie out of... what's his name?
Marshall Faulk. Yes.
I'm having a CTE day, just so you know.
Okay, good.
Struggled in the back room with Brian. I was like, who's the coach of, who's the quarterback of this guy? What's the guy's name? Like, I'm struggling today. Don't worry.
All right. No problem. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Bob is in Londonderry. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Bob. Can you turn your radio down, Bob?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No problem.
I mean,
thanks. Okay. We do sound good, though, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. Anyway, what's
up, Bob?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great. Super. How are you?
I had a quick question, okay? I'm kind of the casual fan, but I'm a realist. You know what I mean? I'm always a bit negative, but I was curious. I would agree the upgrade with Mr. Vrabel is obviously going to be, it's got to be in a heck of a better position they were in, because you can't keep running the team like a CYO basketball league. You just can't. But my question is this. What help, realistically, are they really going to get Vrabel? And B, the quarterback that you guys keep putting on this pedestal, I didn't say he's not good, but what happens if he, in the long run, doesn't really work out? What ultimately are they going to be at this point?
Screwed.
Yeah, Bob, screwed. That's what they'll be. If it turns out that Drake May is not what we think he is, and I think you think he's better than I do, but
absolutely.
We both think he's good.
Yeah.
If he's not good, and there's different levels to good, like, you know, if he's Kirk Cousins for a few years, people thought Kirk Cousins was going to be really good. And in those years, you thought, oh, wow, this guy, if he ever got on the right team, and Herbert's going that way, too. Like, there's quarterbacks who are good, but never really do anything and put up good numbers, and they're kind of empty, and they bounce around, and then they're out of the league. Or, you know, whatever. But, like, their career, their prime years kind of get wasted. That's a very realistic outcome here for Drake May.
It's probably, despite my opinions of him, it's probably the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
That happens to more quarterbacks than it doesn't happen to.
Totally, yeah.
Right, like, Vrabel lived it.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill had the Tannessance resurgence in Tennessee.
Philip Rivers, he never won anything.
Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
He went to back-to-back AFC title games as the sixth pick in the draft, and then his career is looked at as butt fumble.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a clown show butt fumble guy, right?
Right, yeah.
But at one point, he's a young, what did he go, second year, third year he went to the AFC title game?
Yes.
I mean, that's an ascension that's pretty impressive.
He had bad stats, but yeah.
But I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
I would like to get to the point around here where we're debating why Drake May loses in the postseason, or why Drake May can't get to the Super Bowl or why Drake May doesn't win the Super Bowl. Because now you're back in the conversation. Mm. We're so outside the conversation right now, those spoiled, entitled conversations about what's Josh Allen ever won? I would die to have Josh Allen, and he's won nothing.
Right.
Joe Burrow, nothing. Like, let's get back in that weird conversation of how good is he? We mm-hmm. know he's good, but how good? Even Justin Herbert, they went to the playoffs. I'll take a playoff game
yeah.
where you fizzle out. Like, isn't that the first next step?
Yeah, that's definitely.
We thought Mac Jones took that first next step his rookie year, and then it really all snowballed for the negative.
Yeah.
But theoretically, that
also,
was supposed
4 years can go by, and if Allen and Jackson still can't beat Mahomes, then that's going to be part of their story, too. You know, is it MVPs Absolutely. Or not? Like, that's going to be you couldn't do it.
Like Dan Marino.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I'm fine with that story.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a much better story than Mac Jones, Cam Newton, Jacoby Brissett, then this guy. Like, give me stability first.
Sure.
I'd like to know that for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years, Drake May is starting. Because that right there is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
If you lock down the starting job, because you look around the NFL, and it's the same everywhere. First of all, Bob sounded a little bit like Eddie Andelman. Did you know that?
I did think that, yeah.
I thought he
sounded
even did
a little
the,
bit like Eddie. Yeah,
in
yeah.
between one of the comments.
Absolutely,
ah!
yeah.
But his negative tone should also include Chicago, mm-hmm. should also include Denver. What if Bo Nix isn't as good as we think he is right now? What if Trevor Lawrence isn't as good as he's supposed to be or his paycheck, which is a very real possibility.
Yeah.
Like, that's the life that'll... Mm-hmm. There are... How many good quarterbacks right now? Really, really good? Like, six?
Yeah, six or seven, I'd
somewhere
say,
in that range.
Like that, yeah.
So, there's no shame in being in the next tier.
Mm-hmm.
We've been so far from the next tier for, like, 3 years now that I'll take the next tier.
Yeah. I mean, you could make the argument that Mac Jones, his rookie year, which is how he was able to score yeah. that weaselly Pro Bowl selection, but he was in that second tier.
Sure.
He was maybe like the 13th or 14th best quarterback
somewhere
that season. That. Something along those lines. I think Drake May could get to that this season for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know if he's there now, but I think he could get
do
there.
Things right.
Right.
Some of it's on what goes on around him. But no, Bob's overall point is correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's no certainty that Drake May is the next big thing, the next great thing. And if he isn't, the answer is very simple. You're screwed.
Yeah, you're screwed. You're going to have to go back in the draft. You're going to have to do what a lot of bad teams do.
Absolutely.
And that is keep on trying until you hit. And I think that Drake May is a hit. How big of a hit, I guess we'll find out. And a lot of that's going to have to do with the conditions and the settings around him, the players around him, and the coaches around him, which is what Mike Vrabel's going to have to take very seriously here. We all said this about Mayo and Van Pelt. The most important thing about last year is Drake May. It's the same this year. It's going to be the same for the next 2 years. I think the progression of him and getting him to that point is all that anyone should really care about. And that's going to be interesting to see someone like Vrabel take that on. 617-779-7937. We are going to rank the best quarterback and coach combinations in the NFL as of today, January 15th, year of our Lord 2025. We'll do that later on in the program. But coming up next, are the Bruins back? I think the Bruins are back. That's next.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Judd Surratt on the call. Nesson. It's the Bruins. The red-hot Boston Bruins. Wins over Florida. A win over Tampa. And now look at this. It's almost like Rich Keefe motivated them to go out there and get their head out of their ass. How about that? You know what? Bravo. Bravo, Bruins. Bravo, Rich Keefe. Bravo, everybody. I didn't think they were going to beat the Panthers at all this year. I thought the Panthers were going to sweep them like they were dust on the carpet. And instead, they came out. It was a weird game, the Florida game, by the way, over the weekend. That was a wacky game. The goal they gave up at the end of regulation and then the game winner at the end, that was all very weird. But whatever, a win over Florida, I don't care how you get it, you got it. And then you come out and you got Tampa, a team that has had their number year after year. It seems like a lot. And this was decisive. This was a decisive win and physical play. I mean, there's a couple of fights in this game. One good one, one bad one. And a very, very strong game from Jeremy Swayman. But what I liked the most about this was how efficient the Bruins were scoring their goal. 6 goals on 24 shots. That's a goal every 4 shots. Like, that's...
Look at you doing, man.
Tremendous. Like, that is really nice to see. I know. That CU degree really goes a long way. But, I know one of them was an empty netter, but, like, it was two empty netters, right?
It was two.
End, yeah, it was two, like, short-handed empty netters.
Yeah, they pulled the goalie at 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, so it was still, I mean, that was a very efficient, nice good win. I mean, really, it was a good win. It was another one that they needed. It made the Florida game not look like a fluke. And the Bruins may have discovered something here. I don't know. Jones said it today. They're not self-starters. They need a spark. They need to fire their coach. Or they need Keith to tell everybody how much they hate each other, whatever it is, in order to get back on the winning ways. But it seems like they're back.
And that's where I don't know how much. There's an angle with Keith here, and I love it. If that's what it took, I mean, it's embarrassing.
Did anyone make the Major League joke yet?
No, just you.
Just me?
Just you.
Because I thought I heard Jones say something about Major League style. He's got him going. And if you don't know what that is, in the movie Major League, they were the Indians at the time. The Cleveland Indians owner is this woman, this very sort of shrill, angry woman. And they put a cardboard cutout. It's not very woke of them to do this. Put a cardboard cutout in the clubhouse. And every time they win, they peel the section off. And I think that the Bruins are doing that, but a cardboard cutout of Keefe.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Then they get to see the whole Keefe.
Yeah.
The whole Richard Keefe.
That's right.
The whole Richard.
Marchand and all those guys, and they're like, yeah, peel it off.
But whatever. If that's what it took for them, which is weird. I mean, Jim Montgomery couldn't do it. It cost him his job.
Right.
The new coach couldn't do it. Sakic, you know, getting his job. If it's Rich Keefe, it's Rich Keefe. You also had the issues from the previous Lightning game where you had the cross check, the injury that happened real late, and I know Swayman was pissed.
Yes.
And so maybe your boy needed a little extra motivation because he comes out, he had 43 saves, and they were up 4-0.
Right.
They controlled this game. They kind of cruised through this game, and there was a physical bite to everything they did. There were little scuffles and face washes after every stoppage. Now, they also got a little lucky. The Wotherspoon, I don't even know how to say his name, Wotherspoon?
Yeah.
Goal, his first career goal, was a ridiculous pass, so ridiculous that I think if you do it 100 times, it might work too. But that's the opposite of what they've been doing this year.
Right.
They've been missing passes that you're like, you're an NHL player. That should probably be like an 80% completion on that pass. And they were missing those. So they need a little luck, maybe. They need a little extra fire in their belly, whatever it may be. They're banged up. Maybe it was that. Maybe there's a little bit of like, now we're banged up and you got to rally the troops. I don't really care, honestly, whatever the answer is. But is it sustainable will be the question.
Right.
Can you keep doing this, you know, for a stretch of 10 days, 14 days, 20 days, like stack them on top of each other? And if your boy, Swayman, is trending the way he's trending.
He keeps going like this.
They can do it.
They definitely can. They definitely can. And right now, the very hot Columbus Blue Jackets, who have won 5 straight, are sneaking right up those wild card standings. They're only a point behind you, and you are tied in points with Tampa Bay, but even though you beat them last night, they still have that playoff spot. You're still the wild card team. But it's all very perilous right now. Ottawa's right behind you. Montreal's right behind you. You got Detroit, Philly, and the Penguins all at 44 points. Like, they're within striking distance, some much closer than others. But this is a very important time now for this Boston Bruins team, and they have some, I think, winnable games coming up here. Certainly against teams like the Ottawa Senators. I think they have San Jose coming up too. San Jose stinks this year. The Devils, Ottawa again, Colorado, Buffalo, some good and bad teams mixed in there. They got Winnipeg again, who smoked them this year. So this is going to be an interesting stretch here for your Boston Bruins team here at the end of this month of January to see if they can keep this going, because they are going to face some tough teams.
Plus, we're being overly optimistic, which we're not accused of very often.
Not with the Bruins, we're not, that's for sure.
I mean, they're
or really kinda, anyone.
What was it, like a 5-game losing streak? Six game.
One of the worst losing streaks they've had in years.
So,
yeah.
That, you know, 2 wins doesn't wipe out 6 losses.
It does not.
You need 4 more before you get to 500 in your last X number of games, kind of thing. So,
the All-Star? That's coming up soon, right? The break in February, I want to say.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Everybody back there? No, it's early February. I think. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have some time there.
It's like the same week as the NBA, isn't it? Is it like the same week? Or
maybe.
Like from one weekend to the next, they're back-to-back, I feel like.
I don't know. I just hope that Tate McRae performs again. Remember her last year? She was at the NHL All-Star Fest, whatever it was, like the skills competition.
I don't remember.
You familiar with Tate McRae, with the Tate McRae?
Yes.
You guys know who I'm talking about?
Yes. Big in the hockey world.
Big in the hockey. She's Canadian, I think. That's why.
I think you're right.
So she performed.
Actually, her brother plays college hockey as well.
Does he really?
Tucker McRae, yeah. I think
good
he played for Dartmouth, I want to say.
Good for the whole McRae family, let me just say.
Dartmouth?
Tate McRae.
By the way, no All-Star game this year because of the Four Nations face-off.
Oh, right. So they'll have the break for that, but it's still at the same time, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it's happening here in Boston.
So last year, Tate McRae was performing during the NHL All-Star break, and my son, who was one, I guess, at the time, was transfixed on the television. He had one of those little, you know, the pouches the kids like. He's got the pouch going. He's just sitting there, did not blink, just watching Tate McRae. And I was like, that's my boy.
That's my boy.
That's my boy. Right.
Start
chip
him young,
off the
baby.
Old block.
She is delightful, by the way. Tate McRae, I am a big fan
what
of her.
What does she sing?
I don't know any of her songs. I couldn't tell you one song.
You're like,
she sings?
I do
never
not,
heard a word she said.
I heard there was sounds coming out of her mouth, but I don't know what they said or what they were about. Great dancer. Kind of like a throwback pop star. You know what I mean? Like, she has sort of that. It's hard to describe. But she's also only
21.
Is she only 21?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, whatever.
Settle down, Grandpa.
What do you want from me? I don't
Settle
know how
down,
old
Belichick.
She was. I know she's a
I was hoping
pop
you'd
star.
Look that up, Andy. I really was.
She's only 21?
Belichick.
Yeah, it's not like I'm 72.
No, I know.
Get on the plane and ask her about her philosophy homework.
What should I know from her? Like, you does she have a famous song?
All I know is that she's Canadian and often performs at hockey-related events. That's
Too
all
young
I can tell
to
you.
Be sad. You broke me first. I've never heard of any of these.
Yeah,
Stiz, when we come back, can you?
Let's get some Tate McRae going when we come back here.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. That is our Bruins Minute here as we continue on with our football conversation, which will get a little bit more intense here in about an hour as we talk with Adam Schefter, get his take on everything that went on with the Patriots over the course of the week, not to mention if he has any insight on who this offensive coordinator is going to be, as we know that Vrabel was interviewing candidates, where that part in the search is, and all things NFL here as we go into the division weekend. But first, Bill Belichick spoke. Praising Mike Vrabel, had a lot to say about him on the Let's Go podcast. We'll get to that and the coaching carousel. ESPN making predictions. We'll make some of those with you as well right after this.